Hey, everybody, before we get onto this week's episode of the Mets News Podcast, I wanted to say a huge thank you to Joe Beningo. He's one of the guys I grew up listening to. This was a huge thrill and honor for me. I just wanted to say thank you to him. We get into a lot of things this episode, from the lockout to the Hall of Fame to the games yesterday to Zach Wilson to the Giants to the Mets. We talk some other stuff, too. It was really a great interview. There was a part where we lost internet connection, so I tried to edit that the best I can, but it doesn't really affect the interview at all. Let's hear from the sponsor. You can find Joe Beningo at Real Joe Beningo on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, check out his podcast, The Oh, The Pain Podcast. But let's get on to this week's interview. And let's first hear from this week's sponsor, Anchor. Take it away, Anchor. And I hope you enjoy the interview as much as I did. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Mets News Podcast. I never thought I would have anybody on from WFAN. Let alone Joe Beningo. This is a huge honor for me. I'm just going to turn it right over to Joe. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm all right, Ben. And remember, I'm not with WFAN anymore. I've actually been there. I've been gone for over a year now. So you could say former WFAN, right?
Former WFAN. And you were also on SMY. That's where I first actually found out you were on Daily News Live.
Yeah, I did about 8 years on SNY, the old Daily News Live program. Jonas Schwartz. We had a good time doing that. Yep. Yeah. Chris Carter before that.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it. I want to start with the Bengals game because to me that was the more interesting game. So what are your thoughts on that? Because that was a great game. The second half.
My thoughts on it was that I thought that Patrick Mahomes had a terrible game. I mean, I thought the game really turned right before halftime, 21-10. They had that drive. They're down on the 2-yard line, 3-yard line, whatever it was, 5 seconds to go. And instead of kicking the field goal there with no timeouts left, Mahomes talks Andy Reid into going for the touchdown. They don't get it. You know, the mistake by Mahomes, that he doesn't throw the ball away immediately in the end zone. He throws it in the field of play to Tyreek, and they get stopped. And I thought that turned the whole game around. I really did.
Yeah, and the second half, I think that was the worst I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play. The turnovers he was committing, especially the one at the end of the game, I don't know what he was doing. To me, once you see no one is in that area, you just throw the ball away. He just said, I'm just going to throw it down the middle of the field and see what happened there. To me, that was probably his worst game, like you said, he ever played.
Well, I'll tell you what, the second half reminded me a lot of the game, the Super Bowl last year, they lost to the Bucs. The defense, Cincinnati's defense won this game. Joe Burrow's terrific. No doubt he had those two big runs for first downs on that one drive. He had a great game. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, he's a tremendous quarterback. But to me,
all right, you're back now. We got you back.
You got me back, but I don't see you. So let me get my wife here to get you to get me back so you can see me. All right.
All right. So we got Joe back. So I'll let you finish your point.
No, I just thought. Well, look, you go back to the Super Bowl last year against the Bucs. The Bucs defense really won that game. They shut Mahomes down, and that's what happened in the second half of this game. The Bengals really shut him down. They started getting pressure on him a lot. Mahomes looked bad. I mean, he was missing guys. They took Tyreek Hill completely out of the game in the second half. I mean, he had a big first half, did nothing in the second half. But with all of that said, you know, he threw the big pick at 21-13. B.J. Hill got that interception that set up the touchdown and eventually tied the game up. Mm-hmm. But to me, they're down 24-21. They drive in. They get all the way down to the 3-yard line. They got a first and goal on a 3-yard line to basically win the game. They got all their timeouts, and I thought the play calling there was horrible. I mean, they ran on first down. They got maybe a yard. They should have ran again. They still had all their timeouts. They should have ran the ball again. You know you're going to – at the very least, you got the field goal in the bag, okay, at the very least. And I thought that play call on second down was terrible. Mahomes faked it into the line. I don't know if it was Edwards-Hilaire or McKinnon. I forget who it was. He faked it into the line, took it back, winds up getting sacked for an 8-yard loss. And then on third and goal, he winds up getting sacked again, and he winds up fumbling. They're lucky that they recovered the ball there. Butker kicks the field goal. But I thought that killed him too. I thought the play calling there, I thought they should have ran the football at least again on second down. And, you know, they got a little too crazy there, especially with the way Cincinnati was covering in the secondary. I mean, the guys just, that's another thing. I mean, in the second half, guys just weren't open in the second half of this game. So give the Bengal defense a lot of credit because I thought they really won the game for them. I really did.
Yeah, the Bengals defense in the second half, after really getting killed in the first half, I think the first four drives, they gave up touchdowns at least. But where I agree with you is they had two timeouts, so they could have ran the ball.
Yep.
And if it doesn't work out, just call a timeout. I know you have to keep the one timeout for the field goal. The play calling was just really –
play calling was not good at all. I completely agree. And the same thing right before halftime. They should have kicked the field goal. That came back to bite them. Not a great game for Patrick Mahomes. Not a great game for Andy Reid. But give the Bengals credit. And then in the overtime when they won the toss, I still didn't feel good for Kansas City because they just didn't play well. I mean, let's be honest. Cincinnati totally outplayed him in the second half. And, you know, look, he forced that pass on third down there into Hill. But I think he felt he had to. It was third and 10. And I think Mahomes was thinking, you know what? If I don't make a play here, they're going to get the ball and they're going to go down and win the game with a field goal. And that's pretty much what happened. I mean, Von Bell got the interception anyway, set him up in pretty good field position. And you knew when he picked it off, the game was over, that Cincinnati was going to win. You knew that.
Yeah, and good for Cincinnati because I kind of like that we're going to have some different teams this year in the Super Bowl. It's not going to be Brady. It's not going to be Mahomes. So I'm actually real – this is going to be an intriguing game, in my opinion. So I guess let's go to the other game then, the Rams and the 49ers. Was anyone really shocked that Jimmy G really did what he did?
Well, this game's not about Jimmy G, though. This game, to me, is more about the Rams' resiliency and the way they were able to come back for this really the second week in a row, and they made a lot of mistakes in this game. I mean, you know, Stafford threw that pick in the end zone on that drive early in the first quarter. He had a couple of big drop passes. Cooper Kupp, as good as he played yesterday, he dropped a big pass. And then that kid in the end zone, I forget the kid's name, rookie Sawinka, whatever his name was, wide open touchdown. He dropped in the end zone. And let's be honest about this, too. Sean McVay had a terrible game. I mean, they won this game in spite of the coach. He had two horrible challenges. What is he doing? He challenged that fourth down spot when Stafford had the quarterback sneak. There was no way. He wasn't even close to getting the first down. And then he challenged that play with Yusek on third down when they stopped him. And he challenged it saying it was a fumble. The ball wasn't even close to being a fumble. Maybe Yusek was on the ground, you know, a good while before the ball came out. So I thought the Rams, man, they overcame some mistakes, and they overcame some bad coaching by Sean McVay to win this football game. They really did. Cooper Kupp had a tremendous game. Odell Beckham had a great game. Odell Beckham has really found himself with the Rams. Mm-hmm. He had a terrific game. This kid, after Tyler Higbee, the tight end, got hurt early in the game, this kid Blanton made some big plays for them at tight end. You know, and Stafford played pretty well. I mean, you know, he made the plays they had to make. And obviously, with all that said, the big play of this game, 17-14, Stafford throws that bomb down the middle. The kid Tart, I believe his name, the defensive back for the Niners, has the ball, hit him right in the hands and drops it. And I thought that was the biggest play of the game. They were up 17-14. I think if he intercepts it there, I think the Niners probably go on and win the football game. But it didn't happen. And then the next play of the game, he hit Beckham. Remember, Stafford hits Beckham for about 30 yards on the next play. And Beckham gets there's a personal foul on the Niner defensive back. He hits him helmet to helmet to give him another 15 yards. They eventually set up the field goal that tied the game. So, that was a huge play in the game, that dropped interception by San Francisco. But you know, give the Rams credit, man. They're a resilient team. They overcame all those turnovers last week to beat Tampa after they had the 27-3 lead, and then he almost handed that game away, and then Stafford and Kupp pulled it out for him late. And, you know, same thing here. I mean, Niners were up 17-7. You know, Garoppolo was actually playing pretty well. He threw a couple bad passes, but, you know, he hadn't turned it over. He actually was playing pretty well. The problem is, you ask Jimmy Garoppolo, I know he did it in that last game of the regular season to get the Rams in the playoffs against, to get the Niners in the playoffs against the Rams. Mm-hmm. But this game, you know, you were asking him a lot to go 80 yards against that defensive line the way, you know, Aaron Donald and Von Miller really turned it up at the end of the game. So give the Rams credit. You know, they deserve to win. They deserve to win.
Yeah, my 2 points about that game is the last two drives Jimmy G had the ball, his offensive line gave him really no time at all.
And that's when they took over the game. That's what I said. The defensive line took over the game late in the game. Aaron Donald, Von Miller, those guys really, really stepped it up in the last couple drives after they took the lead, especially.
Yeah, and my last point is, like you said, that dropped interception. We've seen that a ton as Giant and Jet fans the past 2 years. We just have to get a game-closing drive, and our defense just blows it. A couple games as a Giant fan comes to mind before all the injuries this season.
Well, the Giants offense was just a disaster. But I mean, by the end of the year, the Giants were the worst team in the NFL. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. I know they had all the injuries. And we'll see what happens with the coach. I mean, we'll see with Brian Daboll, what he turns out to be. We'll see.
Yeah, that leads into my next point. What do you think about the Giants going outside the organization? The first time in, like, it's 46 years.
They had to do it. They had to look. It hasn't worked. The Giants have gone. I mean, think about it. This is one of the most stable organizations in the history of the NFL. You know, and you've had now three straight coaches that went 2-0. I mean, you know, Ben McAdoo, then you had Shermer, you know, and now you got Joe Judge, two years and out. So the Giants need to get this right. They made the right move. I think they made the right move bringing this guy in from Buffalo. I don't know what Daboll is. I mean, I know he did a real good job with Josh Allen, but, you know, that's Josh Allen. I don't know if Daniel Jones, you know, is certainly not in what I've seen, is not in the league of Josh Allen. So, but we'll see what they will. You never know with these coordinators what kind of head coaches they're going to be until they start, really start to coach. So we'll see.
Yeah. And really, my first choice was Brian Flores, but it's not like I'm upset with Brian Daboll. To me, Brian Flores just has a track record of taking.
Yeah, Brian Flores is a good coach. That was a big mistake by Miami. I agree. You know, look, obviously there were issues there with, I don't know if there were issues with the general manager. There were issues with Tua. You know, you heard a lot of different things. But Flores is, you know, look, I mean, he showed me something in Miami. He won 10 games there last year. They start out 1-7 this past year. They wind up going 9-8. You know, they win 8 of their last 9 games. So, you know, we'll see. There's still a bunch of openings, and we'll see if Flores gets a job or not.
I think I'd take him
as the Jet coach. I can tell you that. I would take him in
a heartbeat. That leads to my next question. A lot of my audience wants to know your thoughts on Zach Wilson and the coach, because I heard you're not a huge fan of the coach right now.
No, definitely not. I went 4-13. What did this coach do to make me feel confident that this is the guy that's going to finally take me where I want to go? Mm-hmm. You tell me what. Now, I like what I saw from Zach Wilson. I think that he has a chance to be a real good quarterback. I do. I think there's something there. He's got great escapability. The kid can throw the ball. He's got a terrific arm, all of that. I think he's got a lot of moxie. You know, he's got a lot of guts, that whole thing. He plays with, you know, he plays that way. Okay, similar like, you know, how Joe Burrow is with the kind of confidence he plays with, you know, and Zach Wilson should only turn out to be Joe Burrow, but he plays with that kind of confidence. So I like him. I'm concerned about the coaching, though. And the other thing, too, is, look, this is an offseason where Joe Douglas has got to hit it. You know, he's got 2 picks in the first round. He's got the 4th pick and the 10th pick in the draft. He's got 2 high second round picks. They got a lot of money under the cap. They need to have a huge offseason, this team, because I tell you right now, 7-10 is not cutting it for me next year. You can't sell me 6-12, whatever it is, 6-11, 7-10, and tell me we made an improvement. I'm not buying that. I've had enough losing seasons. It's time to see some winning football. And, you know, we'll see. We'll find out about Robert. We'll find out this year about Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson.
The one area I agree with you with Saleh is, and you talked about this on your podcast, the Oh, the Pain podcast, is that Tampa Bay game. What was he doing with the quarterback, like, sneak? It was a 2-yard thing.
Look, they call timeout before that play. One thing that they don't do, and to me, this is something that's got to start being incorporated into the offense. There's no designed runs for Wilson. Any running he did was all out of scrambling, you know, getting away from the pressure. They need to have some designed runs for this kid. Similar to what he's not Josh Allen. He's not this big physical specimen that Josh Allen is. But even with Daniel Jones, even the Giants have designed runs for Daniel Jones. I got to start seeing that with Wilson because he can run the ball. And to me, that fourth and two play, that begged of a run-pass option. Get him out of the pocket. Get him rolling out. Maybe you could run it in the end zone. Certainly get the first down. To me, that was the play, not the quarterback sneak. And the other thing with that, too, is there should be no option. You're the head coach. This is the play we're going to run. There is no option. Run this play. So that's another thing about that.
Yeah, and really, I think the Jets had a lot of first-year coordinators on the team. I would have liked to see some veteran coordinators. You had a first-year coach. You had a first-year.
Well, I thought LaFleur got better. I thought Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, stunk. You know, yeah. I mean, the defense was terrible. But I thought LaFleur got better as the year went on. I think the offense has some potential. I think the offensive line has a chance to be very good. I would love to see them draft this kid Lederbaum from Iowa to center. Maybe with that 10th pick, the second first-round pick, I'd love to see him. They got a pretty good offensive line. George Fant is a solid left tackle. The kid Vera Tucker they drafted in the first round this past year is a real good player. I like the guy they traded for from Kansas City. I would re-sign him. You know, Mekhi Becton, I don't know. I mean, so far he's been a stiff so far. He doesn't play.
He's been injured a lot.
He missed the entire year. Well, I think he needs to get in shape. I think the problem with him is he's way overweight. Mm-hmm. He needs to drop about 35, 40 pounds, get in shape, and let's see what he is.
Yeah, and who was that guy they got from New England? I'm trying to remember his name. They got him on a one-year deal. You talked about him on your podcast before.
We talked about Berrios?
Yeah. They got to resign him. Yeah.
Oh, they got to resign him. He's a good player. I mean, he's the kind of player that he's a winning player. I mean, he can do everything. They should have been using him in the offense much earlier in the season. They didn't start using him till late when all the receivers got hurt. This guy is good. He can return kicks. He's an all-pro as the kick returner. He's very good as a receiver. I mean, he seems to have a chemistry with Zach Wilson. They run that jet sweep with him as well. He's a solid pro player. I mean, the kind of player the kind of players you need on your team to be a championship caliber team, to be a winning football team. And if they don't re-sign this guy, I'm telling you, he's going to wind up with Belichick in New England. He'll be catching 90 passes a year like he's the new Julian Edelman, you know, Wes Welker. They should re-sign him. Because what are they going to do? They'll let him walk, and then they'll sign some free agent wide receiver who turns out to be not who they'll overpay for, and he won't even be anywhere near as good as Berrios. To me, this franchise needs to sign Braxton Berrios. They're going to show me something by signing him, but I'm very concerned they're not. I'm very concerned they won't.
The fact that they did not have any contract extension talks till this late, which was a couple weeks ago, I read, reported by SNY, that gets me a little nervous if I'm a Jet.
Yeah. I'm very nervous about it. I think that you watch, they won't. They'll let him go. You need to overpay for this guy. You got plenty of money under the cap. This guy should be on a team and playing, okay? They spent through all this money at Corey Davis, $32.5 million last year. The guy played 8 games, and then he was out for the rest of the year. He dropped a lot of passes. He had that big fumble in the Buffalo game right before halftime, the first Buffalo game. They're making a mistake if they let Berrios go, no doubt.
Yeah, and I guess that signals in. Tom Brady, is he retiring or not?
My feeling is, well, you know that he's got this $15 million kicker or whatever you want to call it, which he gets if he retires after, like, I think it's a date sometime next week, okay?
Okay.
So I look for him. I think he will retire if he gets his $15 million. Again, I don't know all the parameters of it, because I think he looks at the Bucs and says, I can't win with them anymore. He's not winning a Super Bowl with this team anymore. They're in a lot of trouble with the salary cap. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to lose one, at least lose the offensive coordinator, Brian Leftwich. I think he's going to probably get the Jaguar job. That's what you've heard anyway. We'll see how that plays out. And they got a lot. They don't have a lot of money under the cap. You know, Antonio Brown is gone. Gronkowski is not the same player he once was. I'll be surprised if Brady comes back. And I think that's the real reason. I just think Brady feels, hey, I don't think I can win a Super Bowl with this team anymore. I really believe that.
Yeah. What else does he have to prove? He has nothing.
Well, that's another thing. You know, he has nothing left to prove. You're right.
Yeah, and I don't think Todd Bowles is ever going to get a head coaching job again. I thought he would up until that blitz call he had near the end of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, don't be so sure about that. Don't be so sure.
Also, I remember his time with the Jets. He was just not, in my opinion, people can grow, but he was just not a good head coach.
Wasn't any good. He wasn't any good. But, you know, he's done with – look, I think every head coach deserves a second chance. I do. You know, your first job, okay, it didn't work out. And, look, he wasn't a good coach. I mean, I couldn't wait for him to go. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons why they kept him 4 years. You know, they kept him 2 years too long as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, look, every head coach deserves a second shot at a chance. We all know what Belichick did in Cleveland. You know, before he wound up becoming the greatest coach, head coach that ever lived. So I think somebody will hire him. I don't know. There's still a bunch of openings. Minnesota's still open. What else is still open? New Orleans. I don't know if he's going to wind up there with Sean Payton stepping down. I don't know. You know, you still got the Jaguar job open. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think Bowles will probably get a head coaching job again somewhere.
I think if Bruce Arians retires, he'll just take that job.
Well, that could happen. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not out of the realm.
Yeah, I was shocked about Sean Payton stepping down. I don't know about you. That just, to me, came out of nowhere. Like, you heard a little bit of a rumor, and then it just happened.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, Drew Brees is gone. He's been there for 16 years. I don't know what he feels about Jameis Winston. Winston was actually playing pretty well until he got hurt. You know, it's time. I mean, certain guys, it's time. And I think he's going to sit out a year. And I think if the Cowboys don't get to the Super Bowl this coming year, he's going to be coaching in Dallas after next year.
That honestly wouldn't shock me. Jerry Jones is getting older, so he wants that last ring in my
opinion. I'm surprised he didn't fire McCarthy after the disaster against the 49ers, because that was one of the worst coach games I've ever seen. And I wanted McCarthy to coach the Jets. Let me tell you, I did want him. But,
at the time it wasn't that bad. I mean, he was coming off some great years in Green Bay.
Right. And how about that? All the flack he took that he only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Well, what exactly has Matt LaFleur won with the Packers? You know, all this regular season success. He's got this all-time great quarterback. And 2 years in a row now, he got whacked at home in their in the playoffs, and really got the offense got shut down. I mean, you could talk about the 49ers and the block kicks in the game that they beat them in the divisional round 2 weeks ago, you know, the block punt, the block field goal, all of that. To me, their defense just shut the Niners down. I mean, the Packers down, they scored 10 points in this game. The Packers scored on the first drive of the game and they didn't score another touchdown. So 2 years in a row, Aaron Rodgers at home playoffs, shut down by the Tampa Bay Bucks last year, shut down by the Niners this year.
Yeah, and their special teams is awful.
They're awful. But they are. But really, what did Rodgers do? I mean, they scored 10 points. You could talk about you could talk all night about the special teams. To me, you know, they did nothing. They did nothing. I mean, the only two guys were really involved in the offense in that game, Aaron Jones and Davante Adams, really were the only guys involved. So we'll see. We'll see if Rodgers stays in Green Bay. That remains to be seen.
I think he's done in Green Bay. I don't think he's going to retire.
Where's he going?
The Broncos and him have always been rumored together.
Here's why, I know that Nathaniel Hackett is there, and he was in Green Bay and all of that. He's the head coach now. Here's the one reason I don't see him with Denver, and I could be wrong, but he's going into a very tough division. I mean, that division has Patrick Mahomes. That division has Justin Herbert. You know, that division has a solid young Raider team that just went to the playoffs. Then they got Josh McDaniel as their head coach. Hopefully for them, Josh McDaniel won't cut out again like he did with the Colts, but we'll see. But, you know, so that's the one thing. I mean, that's not an easy – if he wants to get back to the Super Bowl, that's not an easy division to get back to the Super Bowl through.
You're right. I didn't realize all the quarterbacks there.
And I think the other thing, too, and this, too, I think right now the AFC is just better. I mean, the AFC,
100%.
You know, you got all these young quarterbacks in the AFC now. I mean, you got Mahomes is only 26. You got Josh Allen. You got Joe Burrow. You got Justin Herbert. You know, who knows what hopefully Zach will turn into be a big quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, hopefully, you know, you would think he's going to turn into a top quarterback. So, they got a lot of, you know, solid young quarterbacks. I mean, I don't know what Tua is going to turn out to be, but there are a lot of, you know, young, solid young quarterbacks in the AFC. I think right now it's easier to get to the Super Bowl through the NFC. I really do. Maybe he winds up in New Orleans. You know, if Sean Payton had stayed in New Orleans, I could see Rodgers there.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, we'll see who the new coach is going to be there. Hey, maybe he goes to Pittsburgh. Maybe he winds up there. But even that now, Pittsburgh, you know, you got the Ravens there. You got the Bengals there now. I don't love the Browns. I think Baker Mayfield's not any good. But I think he stays in the NFC. But where? You know what? He'll probably wind up staying with the Packers. If you ask me, I think he stays in Green Bay.
I just know they have a bad cap situation from listening to his press conference. He says, well, you know, we have a bad cap. I don't want to play on a rebuilding team. They're not going to keep the wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a free agent. Yeah. Adams is a free agent. Yeah.
So that's
well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe he does go to Denver. Maybe he does. We'll see.
Yeah, so I don't really talk basketball on this podcast. I am a Knicks fan, a long-suffering Knicks fan like yourself.
Well, there's not – what else is there?
Yeah. I should have picked the Brooklyn Nets. I'm from Jersey. I should have picked them. I had the out. But anyway.
Well, you know, you probably should have picked, like, the Warriors, and you would have been a lot even better off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I should have. Cavaliers were good, too, when I was going up. Anyway, Julius Randle is done in New York, right? I think he is.
Look, Julius Randle, let's be honest with Julius Randle. Whatever happened last year, you want to say he was playing for a contract. How many times have we seen guys play for contracts, and then once they get the contract, they're not any good? He got exposed in the playoffs by the Hawks last year. No doubt about that. And then the issue he had, you know, with the fans, the thumbs down nonsense with the fans. Look, the trading deadline's coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him. You know, now he's got a rough contract deal, but you know, there might be some teams out there that might be interested in Julius Randle. The Knicks need the number one need for the Knicks to me. I like what I see from RJ Barrett. He's starting to really become a solid player, but the Knicks do not have that legitimate number one big time superstar that you have to have if you're going to win championships in the NBA, and they don't have that guy.
Yeah, you're right. And if Julius Randle's on this team past the training deadline, I'd be shocked.
Well, I mean, let's see what the market is for him. You know, let's see.
Yeah. The market is huge. Or it's a big factor if he's here or not. And you couldn't release him, though, in the offseason.
They just signed him to a big contract. I mean, if anything, they're going to trade him. And if the trade's not there, they'll wind up keeping him for the rest of the year. And we'll see what happens. You know, they look right now like they're not even going to make that play-in. You know, in the East, I mean, what are they, 4 games under .500 right now? Mm-hmm. And they're just not playing well. They haven't played defense this year. I think Thibodeau's has not had a good year coaching the team. The injury to Derrick Rose, it looks like he's probably coming back soon. The injury to Derrick Rose has really hurt them. You know, Rose has been a terrific player. To me, he was their best player in the playoffs last year. But, you know, Rose can't play 40 minutes a night anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's because of injuries, he's limited. He's not the same guy he used to be. So, as good as he still has played for the Knicks, you know, we'll see. Maybe I know there's a lot of interest in Emmanuel quickly. I don't know if I would deal him. I don't know. I mean, I like these guys. I like Obi Toppin. I like Emmanuel quickly, you know, and I think
love homegrown guys.
Right. And still it's right. They're homegrown guys and still a chance that maybe they could develop. So, you know, I think it's almost a detrimental that they did what they did last year because the expectation level got pumped up a little, out of proportion of what it should have been. Like I said, they really got exposed, especially Randle got really exposed by Atlanta in the playoffs. So, but you know, it's been a long time, bro. The Patrick Ewing era is a long time ago now. You know what I mean? You weren't even born when Patrick was basically playing. So there you go.
All I have was Carmelo Anthony that 1 year against Miami. That's all I got.
Yeah. Well, the 1 year against Miami, the year that they lost to the Pacers in the second round, that was the year. Yeah. The year they won 54 games, beat the Celtics in the first round, although they almost blew a 3-0 lead in that series, beat the Celtics in the first round, and then lost to Indiana in the second round. So they didn't even get to Miami in the finals, as you remember.
Yeah, a long suffering. And now this transitions into my favorite team. The Mets, they're finally making moves. We spoke about this. We don't know who actually sanctioned it. It was Steve Cohen. It was not Sandy Alderson. I don't think he wanted Scherzer, but we got Scherzer. So what's your thoughts on the team right now? And the lockout?
Well, first of all, let's get this lockout or this whatever you want to call it. Let's get this straightened out, you know. And, you know, it's going to last at least probably into spring training. Hopefully they get it done before the season. You know, usually with these lockouts, nothing really happens till you start having the threat of games being missed. Generally, that's what happens. But with that said, look, of course, I love what they've done. You know, I like the signing Marte, the other couple guys they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly love Scherzer. You know, hopefully Scherzer and DeGrom give you that 1-2 punch. Hopefully DeGrom now will actually stay healthy all year now that Scherzer's actually here. We can only hope that. I love Buck Showalter. Love him as the manager. Great move by them bringing Showalter in. And let's see. But I got, you know, the Mets got to make the playoffs. I mean, that's it. There's no more, you know, they had a – last year turned out to be a disaster. They teased us last year. They were leading the division for most of the summer, and then they collapsed like, a lead boot. So they can't do that anymore. It's time for them to get into playoffs now. That's it. Time is now.
Yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, it will be extremely disappointing. They need one more pitcher, and I'm a little nervous that they have not addressed the bullpen yet.
Here's the problem. Look, we know this. Edwin Diaz stinks. I mean, you can say you say whatever you want. I have no. I've seen a lot of bad Met closers. I mean, every Met closer that I can think of that wasn't named Tug McGraw, even Jesse Orozco back, you know, in the 80s would give me agita. Every one of them, and certainly whether it was Armando Benitez, whether it was Johnny Franco, whether it was Billy Wagner, whether it was Frankie Rodriguez. I mean, we could go on and on. You know, Braden Looper. We could go on and on with all these Met closers that we've had over the years. Every one of them has given me palpitations. But let me tell you something. This guy, he may be the worst. Edwin Diaz makes you long for the days of Armando Benitez. You know what I mean? Long for those days. Again, you were a little young for Armando, but, you know.
Yeah. I remember the bad Met closers. K-Rod.
Like who?
Yeah, I remember K-Rod. He was the big signing in 09.
Yeah, he was okay. Frankie was okay for a while until Luis Castillo dropped that pop-up at Yankee Stadium, if you remember. All went downhill for Frankie after that.
Sometimes I wonder how I was even able to stay in that Phoenix, because during my early years, the team just absolutely stunk.
You had the World Series in 15. I mean, you did get to see that. You did get that. It hasn't been the Knicks. It hasn't been the Jets. At least you got that team, that World Series in 15. You got that. I know they got beat by the Giants in that one game playoff in 16, but at least you had that, you know. And look, things are looking up. I mean, with Showalter, with Steve Cohen now, with the Wilpons out of the picture, things better get better. Let's leave it at that.
It's about time they actually have a manager that has experience. I mean, I was getting aggravated with Mickey Callaway.
Oh, please. Mickey Callaway turned out to be a disaster, you know, on and off the field. Then you brought in the whole thing with Carlos Beltran. Beltran got hosed. I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, he got so screwed, it's ridiculous. But then they bring in Rojas, and Rojas was over his head. Let's be honest. Luis Rojas was way over his head as a major league manager. So they finally, you know, did the right thing. They brought Buck in, and let's go. I'm ready to go with Buck.
I couldn't agree with you more. In the Hall of Fame, I know you touched on it on your podcast, but
put them all in. I want all the steroid guys in. Every freaking one of them. It's a joke that Barry Bonds isn't in. It's a joke Clemens is. We go right on down the line. The big problem is the writers. I'm sorry. These guys are like the moral compass of the world. I've had it. So, you know my feeling on that. And let's be honest about this. You're going to tell me that there's no, you know, David Ortiz, and I'm all for David Ortiz. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. I got no issue with that. But David Ortiz has had his issues too. He's had, you know, that whole thing with the Mitchell report. You know, I know he never really tested positive or ever was, you know, found, you know, to be doing anything, but there was a lot of rumors about it. And he got in on the first ballot. You know why? Because the writers like him. Mm-hmm. They like him. He's a like, and he deserves to be in. Don't get me wrong. But, you know,
they lost me once they put Ortiz in, because before then you can make the case, well, they didn't put anybody in that tested positive. Once you put Ortiz in, that opens up the whole door.
Yeah, but you know what? There's guys, let me tell you, bro, there's guys that are in the Hall of Fame already that did steroids. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no question. Yeah, I'm looking specifically who were the guys. I mean, I know there's been rumblings about Piazza, and I get it and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But look, like I said, everybody was doing it. You look at what was going on let's just look at the McGuire again. You weren't around, but the McGuire Sammy Sosa home run chase in 1998. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball had been down in the dumps because of what happened after the strike in 94, and that got them all the way back, and it was unbelievable. And they knew Bud Selig, everybody who, by the way, is in the Hall of Fame now, and he was involved with all the collusion and all that garbage with the owners. But with that said, they knew what was going on. They looked the other way. I'm sorry. You know, your all-time home run leader is not in Hall of Fame. Your all-time hits leader, Pete Rose, is another issue. You know, that's the other thing, too, with Pete Rose. I mean, all this gambling that goes on, every major league now in sports is involved with DraftKings, with, BetMGM, you know, whatever, name all the different ones, whatever all the different betting outlets are. But, you know, there's a million of them now. And every major sports league is involved with one of them. So that's my deal with Rose. He should be in. Roger Clemens, as much as I can't stand the guy, he's one of the all-time right-hand pitchers that ever lived. 7 Cy Young Awards. These guys belong in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how you tell the story of Major League Baseball without these guys in the Hall of Fame. I just don't.
And I agree with you. And with the writers getting younger, there's no doubt, in my opinion, A-Rod's going to get in. He already has 34%.
You think he's getting in, A-Rod? I hope you're right. I mean, he should be in. He should be in now. He should have been on the first ballot. He should have been in. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. I mean, the guy's one. Say whatever you want about A-Rod. He's one of the great players of all time. I mean, the guy's got 600. He's fourth in home runs. He's got 696 home runs. You know, how many MVP awards does he have? I mean, we could go on and on with it. A-Rod, of course, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. He should be in now. You think he's going to get in? I'm not so sure about that.
The reason why I think he's going to get in is because he's in the media now. He's buddy-buddy with all those guys.
They don't like him, but he's not liked. You think that these – who likes A-Rod? I mean, I like A-Rod, okay? I don't think he's the greatest guy, but I don't think – you think the media likes A-Rod? Do you? I don't see that.
I think his reputation has gotten better. It wouldn't surprise me if he got – well, he's getting his own show on ESPN with.
Well, but what does that mean? I mean, I get that, but I mean, I don't think he's. I don't think the baseball writers really like him. Should he be in? Of course, he should have been in the first ballot. There's no doubt about it. But I would be look if Barry Bonds isn't going to get in. I don't think they love. Obviously, they don't love Barry Bonds either. But if these other guys aren't going to get in, I find it hard to believe A-Rod's getting in. You know, I hope you're right. I find it hard to believe.
I just think that with the writers getting younger, it's just a matter of time before A-Rod gets in. And he got more of a percentage his first year on the ballot than Barry Bonds did. Barry Bonds got 32%, right. And A-Rod got 35%. So that, to me, is another indication that.
What does it mean? I mean, I don't think it means a hill of beans. But we'll see. Like I said, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Kurt Schilling's another.
Kurt Schilling's not in for one reason and one reason only. He's a conservative, right-wing. Yep. That's his political thought. And let's be real, okay? The media, the national media and the sports media is all liberal and they're on the other side of the aisle. That's the aisle they're on. And that's the only reason Kurt Schilling's not in the Hall of Fame. That's it.
You're 100% right.
Okay, and of course he should be in. But that's the only reason. If Kurt Schilling was a Democrat, liberal, okay, progressive, whatever you want to call it, because I don't want to get into all the political stuff now because I got plenty to say about that, but I don't want to get into it. If he was on the other side of the aisle and he had the same kind of controversial beliefs, in my mind, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. It's all because he was a Trump guy, a conservative, Republican, and all of that, and that's why he's not in.
You're 100% right. You're right. And it's a disgrace, in my opinion.
Well, but that's a problem. I mean, that's one of the problems with the Hall of Fame. It becomes a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. Reasons that have nothing to do with what you did on the field, okay? And I understand the steroids do. But to me, it's still what you did. You still had to go out and do it. You know, Barry Bonds still had to go out and hit 73 home runs, you know? Hit 762, whatever the number is, home runs. You know, he still had to do that. I mean, and to me, Barry Bonds, and I've seen everybody. I saw Willie Mays. I saw Henry Aaron. I saw Mickey Mantle. I saw, you name it, Roberto Clemente, the great Frank Robinson. We go right on down the line. I mean, I saw all these guys play. I mean, every great player there was. Griffey Jr., let's even go up a little soon, you know, a little more modern. Griffey Jr., the most dominant offensive player I ever saw was Barry Bonds. It's not even debatable. It's not even debatable. He belongs in the Hall of Fame.
You're right. And do you think Beltran's getting in with his cheating?
No, that's going to keep him out. I think Beltran is a fringe Hall of Fame guy anyway. I think he's kind of on the bubble as far as the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. But I think that the fact that the whole Houston cheating nonsense, that's going to keep him out.
Yeah, and it's just a disgrace. Roger Clemens is the best. You could make the case he's one of the best pitchers that ever.
Of course, pitched.
Seven Cy Youngs.
Of course. But look, I can't stand Roger Clemens. I mean, there's not many guys I dislike in sports more than Roger Clemens. He's not a likable guy. The whole thing with the World Series with Piazza and the bad incident and all that garbage. But he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's a no-brainer. He should be in, of course.
Yeah, and even if you think Roger Clemens did it, and there's a lot of evidence saying he did do PEDs, he went to court to clear his name.
Yeah, well.
He went to court.
They don't like him, bro. Yeah. Another guy they don't like.
Yeah, you're right. So to end the podcast, I like to ask a few questions about my guest, obviously, just to get them other than sports.
Yeah, I got a couple minutes for you, but then my wife's calling me to dinner. So let's go. Let's do it.
You're a big music guy.
I am. All my music, my music ended after the 80s. So okay. I could tell you that. I mean, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, my music ended after that. So
big Frank
but
Sinatra.
I am big into all that era of music, without a doubt. The classic rock stuff, Frank Sinatra. I mean, we could go on. There's a lot of stuff I'm into.
I didn't know that till the other day, actually. I was listening to a Jet podcast by the New York Post, and I didn't know you were a big music guy, that you thought about going to being in a singing career, you said.
Well, look, I mean, singing career, I can't sing. I mean, I try to sing. But believe me, Ben, if I could sing, I'd be singing. If I could sing, I'd be singing. We'll leave it at that.
So you worked at SNY. I just want to get your perspective because the Wilpons did own SNY. They still own SNY. What was that like? Because you went pretty hard. They deserved it, but you went pretty hard on them.
Yeah, I enjoyed my 8 years there. I had to be a little tempered in killing the Wilpons when I was working there. It was no problem doing it on the fan, but it was a little, you had to kind of watch yourself a little bit at SNY. But, I enjoyed my 8 years there. I had a good time. It just became a little bit too much to do. After a while, the long day really kind of got to me, but it was a great 8 years that I did it.
And I know you get asked this all the time, but all my listeners wanted me to ask this question. Do you miss the fan?
No.
At all?
No, not at all. I don't miss it. I mean, I'm doing my podcast. There's people I miss, but it'll never be what it once was. WFAN will never be what WFAN was when, I was there when I was a caller before that, going back to, the Mike and the Mad Dog days and, when Imus was there. And it's just, it'll never be that again, everybody that made WFAN great is pretty much gone anymore. Everybody's gone. Steve Summers is gone. I'm gone. Chernoff's gone. Francesa's gone. Russo Dog is long gone. Mm-hmm. Minko's gone. Malusis is gone now. I mean, it's just not the same anymore there. But it was a great run. I had a great 25-year run, no doubt about it. But do I miss it? No, and I certainly don't miss the commute into the city. I'll tell you that. Do not miss that one iota.
As my grandfather took the train into the city like you did, he came from Livingston and took the train in. So I do know about that commute. That commute is not.
Well, I actually I drove for about the first 19 years. The last 6 or 7 years, I started taking the train. The train was better. But that had its drawbacks as well. So,
yeah, my grandfather started taking the train after 9/11 because doing that security stuff when it first happened, he said, was just it was terrible.
Well, I don't know how safe the city is these days. So, but like I said, I'm very happy that I'm not, I don't have to do that commute anymore.
Yeah, it is a bad commute. Having done it before, not as much as you. All right, Joe. I don't want to keep you too much.
I appreciate it, man. Keep up the good work. What else can I tell you? What's that?
Where can my listeners find you?
Well, you can get me on Spotify, my All the Pain podcast. It's on. I do it every Monday and Friday. You can check it out tonight, Monday night. You'll hear it. We're breaking down the conference championship games. I'll be on again Friday. So check it out on Spotify every Monday and Friday night, the Joe Beningo Oh the Pain podcast. And there's a lot of pain, as you know, when you root for the Mets, the Jets, and the Knicks. At least the Rangers are good. The Rangers are a good team. They really are. Very good team. We'll see how far they can go in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a shocker. I'm not going to lie. I did not expect what they're doing.
They're a good team. They got a lot of guys on that team. Panarin, Zibanejad, Shesterkin looks like the real deal in the goal. Chris Kreider is having an unbelievable year. He's got 31 goals already. They've been great on the power play. Adam Fox is the best defenseman in the league. And, you really like what Gerard Gallant has brought to the table as a coach. So we'll see. You know, it's a long way to the Stanley Cup, but they got a real good team. They got an exciting team. And let's hope they can make a nice run in the playoffs.
What was it, 2014 they made it to the finals? I know.
Lost to the Kings. Yep. Yep.
Four games.
Had a nice run. The Henrik Lundqvist, there's a lot. I'll leave you with this. There's a lot of similarities between the Henrik Lundqvist era with the Rangers and the Patrick Ewing era with the Knicks. A lot of similarities, a lot of very difficult losses in the playoffs, a lot of good teams, but they could never get over the hump and win. You know, Lundqvist got to the finals only one time. Ewing's teams got there twice, although the second finals he was hurt in 99 against San Antonio. But, you know, two great players. They hang from the rafters at the Garden, but a lot of similarities between the Ewing Knicks and the Lundqvist Rangers.
Yeah, and they're owned by the same guy. I wonder what the problem is.
The great Jim Dolan. Amen to that. We'll leave. What a way to end the segment here. Bringing up Jim Dolan, that's a good way to end it, bro.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care, Ben.
All right. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. Stay safe and have a good one.
Be good, Ben.